Europe still can't say for sure what food is safe to eat and what's not.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Reputation.com, protecting online privacy by removing your personal data from the Internet and stopping unwanted mail. Reputation.com.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon in for Steve Chiotakis. Don't be pointing fingers too fast. That warning to Germany today from the European Union's health chief. Germany has blamed the wrong source twice now for tainted food that's already killed 22 people and cost farmers billions in exports. It's reminiscent of our own big E. coli scare a couple of years ago. Michael Osterholm heads the University of Minnesota's Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy. He's on the line with us now. Why is there such a problem pinpointing food contamination?
First of all, any outbreak of this complex nature is difficult to readily and quickly identify the actual source. However, for those of us who have done a great deal of foodborne disease investigation work, believe that to a real degree, the Germans have botched this investigation. The way they've approached it, the methods they're using, and in short, the way they're arriving at their conclusions really leaves a lot to be desired.
How does this compare to the outbreaks that have happened in the U.S. in the past few years?
Well, over the past several years, we've had a number of large, complicated outbreaks here, too. And some of those, depending on which states they occurred in and how others were involved with the outbreaks, also were challenged. But our group here in Minnesota, for example, which has pioneered many of the techniques used in foodborne disease epidemiology work and outbreak investigation activities, have solved virtually all of these large outbreaks when we've had cases here in Minnesota. So I think it's fair to say that while this is a challenging area, it can be done. You can solve these kinds of outbreaks. And if the Germans were using the approaches and the tools that we've already pioneered and used here, I believe we would have had an answer some time ago.
The University of Minnesota's Michael Osterholm, thanks.
Thank you.
The hackers behind a big cyber attack last month had what amounts to the digital master key. And a company called RSA Security is now offering to replace millions of electronic keys known as secure IDs after a breach at defense contractor Lockheed Martin. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
Back in March, hackers stole data from the company that makes these keys, RSA Security. The scary part is that the keys are used by defense contractors like Lockheed Martin. RSA says that data was used in an attack on Lockheed Martin last month, and reports say it's not the only defense contractor to have been targeted. Roger Kay is president of Endpoint Technologies Associates, a market research firm.
What we do know about this, which is really bad news, is that people who are in the security business have been unable to keep their system from a breach, which says if they're not safe, then who is?
Millions of government and corporate workers use secure IDs to log on to their computers. The devices generate an ever-changing passcode designed to be hacker-resistant. RSA is offering to replace the electronic keys for most of its customers. Kay says that will be expensive, but damage to the company's reputation could be worse. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Look at this. Wall Street has regained some confidence. The numbers are up after four straight losing days, but they've been wavering in the past hour. The Dow is now 53 points higher, not quite 0.5%. Same margin for the S&P. The NASDAQ is up better than 0.25%.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com. By Manta, connecting millions of small business owners with new customers every day. On the web at manta.com. And by LendingTree, providing up to four loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733.
When the daily deals site Groupon goes public soon, its founders are likely to become very rich. And here's why that's causing excitement in Chicago. Local startups are hoping some of that money will trickle down. From the Windy City, here's WBEZ's Ashley Gross.
Tech entrepreneur Ashish Rangnekar unlocks a door in Groupon's sprawling headquarters in downtown Chicago. He's leading me to the office of Watermelon Express, his test prep software company.
And then we are here.
In this building, Watermelon Express is like a tiny barnacle stuck to the side of the Groupon battleship. It's an example of how Groupon is trying to help small companies like this one get their legs.
I would not want to be in any other city but Chicago right now.
Last year, Rangnekar met Groupon's founders, Eric Lefkofsky and Brad Keywell. They liked his idea so much, they decided to invest in it and give him office space. Rangnekar was one of 10 local entrepreneurs the Groupon founders backed with their $100 million venture capital fund, Lightbank. Groupon's IPO will almost certainly turn Lefkofsky, Keywell, and other Groupon executives into billionaires, and people in Chicago hope they'll plow even more money into local startups. That could help Chicago become less of a flyover city when it comes to tech. The Midwest has long trailed Silicon Valley, New York, and New England in venture capital deals. Steve Kaplan teaches entrepreneurship at the University of Chicago Booth School of Business.
We really haven't had a big winner where the winner has had people who are, you know, technology savvy who want to put money back in. So it's a big deal.
But despite all the excitement, few people expect Chicago to edge out Silicon Valley anytime soon. Bump Technologies makes apps for smartphones and got its start in Chicago. But Chief Executive David Lieb says the company concluded there weren't enough engineers and software developers here, so they set up headquarters in Mountain View, California.
For us, you know, we knew we had to hire a bunch of people, and being here in the Valley is really where all that technical talent is.
But Chicagoans are hoping Groupon's success will change that and seed the growth of what some here are calling Silicon Prairie. In Chicago, I'm Ashley Gross for Marketplace.
Finally, apparently not everything stays in Vegas. The Nevada resort city is about to lose its number two ranking among the world's biggest casino markets. The American Gaming Association says Singapore is on track to overtake Las Vegas. Trivia question for you, which city tops the list? While you think about that, I'll note Singapore's expected $6 billion in revenue this year is not a bad take, considering it just opened its first two casinos last year. Okay, the most lucrative casino market? Think China. It's Macau. Who would have wagered that just a few years back? I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Chinese students are about to take the annual test that determines what college they'll attend, what career they'll choose, and how much they'll get paid. But does this kind of testing prepare them for a 21st century economy?
The education system and its inability to train analytical students is the biggest crisis facing China today.
I'm Tess Viglin, China's educational drudgery, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.